Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This posted at 8:22 a.m. and has particular resonance for the show. Jeannie, can you see the headline before
is it a tweet?
I tell
yes.
Is it Dr.
yes,
Kornheiser?
Dr. Kornheiser?
This is from the Washington Post.
Right.
Headline, Trump administration says it's still considering Purple Line for federal funding.
This is just
Here it comes.
Just
now
awful.
He'll turn
Can I
on
also
Trump.
Mention that when I came in this morning, the awful. Sign still said Chaz?
Yes, it
does.
Oh, yeah.
I
thought you. It was called Chatter.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
And it still says Chaz today as we make no progress whatsoever in converting to Chatter, even though we were told was very important to establish a new name and relaunch. So, anyway.
Can of black spray paint, honey.
Happy to do that.
Okay, I'm on it.
We are here today with Gary Braun and Tori Clark and Michael Kornheiser. Special guest Steve Sands, who is in town, and later in the show we will ask about that. Nigel is going to run the board, do the news. Sands will talk later in the show about golf, and Arch Campbell will be with us in a little while.
I've noticed you've taken to referring to me by my name.
Gary
recently.
Braun.
Yeah. Was that a conscious decision?
I
no more Super G,
Super
no
G.
SG3. I don't mind.
Been downgraded?
I'm just saying I've noticed that.
I gave that some thought. I didn't discuss it
yeah,
with you.
Yeah, you don't do things by accident.
And
that's
I just thought that we are reaching a different, larger, more diverse audience, geographically diverse
Very well.
Audience.
Makes sense.
And I thought I would introduce you for a while by your given name, but if you'd rather be...
No, it makes no difference to me
and
whatsoever.
And the SG3 thing
curious.
Doesn't work anymore because RG3
this is
done.
This
He's
is
done,
true.
So nobody makes that connection.
Very good.
Super G, yes, we could, we
no,
could
do that. It makes no difference. I was just curious.
Have I mentioned that we are on the corner of Wisconsin Avenue Northwest and Jennifer Street Northwest?
Jennifer with one
Along
end.
Those lines, don't you think if you referred to yourself as Dr. Kornheiser, no. now that you are, in fact, a doctor,
I'm,
it elevates...
No. No, because I'm a phony baloney doctor. It's an honorary degree.
Make them listen.
I'm not
though,
an actual
that out
doctor.
For
I don't walk around with a stethoscope, you know, or you know anything like that. I'm not a real doctor.
So you did on PTI the other night.
Yes,
have we discussed my introduction?
No.
Are we going to talk about the Nigel OBE? Are we not going to do that?
You didn't get that.
Well, no, but I'd like it.
Yeah, but you didn't get that. You're not
just,
Sir Nigel.
If we just say that, doesn't that in essence
no.
make it
There's a Sir
real?
Nick.
Might help with those
There's
audiences.
A Sir George. There's not a Sir Nigel.
Not yet.
No, no, never. Zero chance.
I'm not asking for the KBE. I just want the OBE.
You're not getting that either.
I've always wanted to be Warren Buffett. Can you just start calling me?
I will do that. I'll call you Warren Buffett.
Tony, does it make you feel any better that the GPS this morning I put in Chatter and it took me here?
No.
That's
not
great.
Chad's,
yeah,
not
Chatter.
Chadwick.
No, that's great.
Wow.
Chatter. Yeah, that makes
GPS
me happy. But,
straight here.
But I would like to have a sign that actually said Chatter. We have a
Sense,
mat.
Why in the world
We have a welcome mat that says Chatter.
Why would you need to put that
yes,
in?
Only I mean, because not staying at the palatial Sands
oh,
Estate
okay, okay,
in Rockville, not. Actually staying at the Hyatt in Reston.
Oh, okay.
So I wanted to make sure.
Oh, yeah.
Wait,
oh,
man, right. you got to really start.
Plus, so, I wanted to see what it said yeah. on the GPS just so I could report that it does say Chatter.
What time did you have to leave this morning to get here?
3:20.
Yeah.
But you're up. It's okay. The golf guys are up because they start play at 7 in the morning.
It was a nice, smooth 58-minute ride. It was great.
So we are open for breakfast, and we have a big crowd.
Big
and
crowd.
We always have a big crowd.
Thank you for showing up this
when
morning.
When nice it crowd. Rains.
Yeah, somehow
don't
the rain
The rain brings
out.
People out, which
yes,
I think I think the reverse effect would be true. But in fact, the rain brings
Maybe
people out.
Maybe they anticipate you being particularly curmudgeonly in bad
no,
weather.
I'm not, I have no intention of doing that. Let me. We got this in the mail today. Ryan Decker and Matthew Rosario are having wedded bliss on the 22nd of July in Stinson Beach, California. Ooh. I don't know where that is, Stinson
maybe
Beach.
I'll Google it.
It
Sounds
says
fancy.
Shoreline Highway, so I assume it's out by the Pacific
I think it's
Ocean.
On the coast.
It also enclosed a letter that actually, and I'm glad they're littles and I'm glad they love each other. It just was the letter was a little graphic for me.
Can we give some love to a couple of littles, Joe Martin and Holly McClure?
Sure, who've gotten
who
married.
Got married last week
yeah.
on Jekyll Island.
I think we made an announcement.
Wow.
That. Yeah,
did
nice.
We? Did
yes,
we do that? Okay, nice.
Guys, yes.
Very nice.
All right.
That's Marin County, just north
Marin?
Of San Fran.
Okay. Okay.
Beach.
So I'm sure it's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
So there's a story in the paper today about the 25th anniversary of the founding of WTEM, which I think we started. I was not there at the start because the start was on Memorial Day, which was a Sunday. And I, or a Monday, whatever, I started the next day. And there's going to be a dinner here at Chatter on Saturday night. And I will attend, and Gary will attend.
A reunion of sorts.
Yeah, Andy Poley, Bobby Snyder, Todd Castleberry. And I don't remember. I do remember
Dan
this.
Miller. I
Dan Miller is going to come from
we'll
Detroit.
Yeah.
He lives in Detroit. Was Dan Miller on the original shows?
Yes, I think I'm trying to think. Miller was maybe a weekend host at the time. I was there on that first day.
I did 10-1. James Brown did 1-4. I think Kylie and the coach did 4-7.
Harris in the morning.
Paul Harris and Gene Fugit did the morning.
No. Fugit, Melman and Fugit did 7-10
Oh, is that what it was?
Correct. So Harris in the morning had come from, I think it was 106.7 at the time.
Which
I think
was
it was
music.
Classic rock.
Music at the time.
Paul Harris and Dave the Predictor had been a big morning show there, and they came. Yes. Remember Dave
Who's
the
he?
Predictor?
Yeah, Dave
Predictor.
The Predictor.
Who's he?
He was just his sidekick.
So
his sidekick,
I don't know who's going to be here, and I don't know that I will recognize any of them, and I suspect there are some I didn't like.
Is this on?
Oh, yeah, no question.
That will be bothersome.
You know, you've mellowed tremendously. You were a much different guy then. I mean, that was 25 years
ago. That's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So Andy writes this. Did you have one?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, is this just for people who were there at the beginning, or did people?
Yes.
So I can't come.
Were you invited?
No, I wasn't.
Okay, that's why you can't come.
But I'm not invited to anything.
No, you are invited to some things.
Standard.
But you're not invited.
But, you know, I will say the invite has like Scott Lynn, who
Scotty was
recent
there.
Listeners like of this show would know was there. Was there actually shortly after? I think he came like October of 2012.
You were there the first day.
I was there. Graduated college on Saturday. Started working.
I don't think Greg Garcia will be there.
No,
this is 25 years ago. So you. Do you remember?
Absolutely.
Yeah, you were still here. No, you were already in Orlando, weren't you?
I spoke with Todd Castleberry about working there. Absolutely.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got on the air. I got on the air the day after. Andy writes this big piece in the paper. It's very nice.
Yeah.
It talks about how it changed the world. It didn't change the world. It didn't change the world at all. But it gave a lot of people some extra money and something
changed
to
his
do.
World. He doubled his annual clothing budget from $100
to $200 a year that he spends on clothing. I know it is 25 years. It does not feel like 25 years because I've been doing it almost continuously. You've been in radio almost continuously.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually talking to someone just Tuesday about how you and I came to work together, and I just realized recounting the story that you actually at the time were younger than I am now. And I understand that life works that way.
Yeah.
It's been 25 years, but
we started on AM 570.
That's right.
And now the only station that is working for that group, for the Red Zebra group, is 980.
Which is a different group. It's not the original. The original owners
were the Rails Brothers.
Right, and sold it
Mitchell
after,
and Steven
four
Rails.
Or 5 years. That was
and made
it.
Money.
Yeah.
And made money. And they were very
By the way,
nice.
Gary, in Scottsbluff, Nebraska, and Utica, New York in 1990.
That's right.
Is that
Nebraska.
Where you
forgot about that. Yeah.
Not in Orlando.
Did you live in the suburb of Utica, Unadilla?
No,
live there?
But I do know where Unadilla is.
Yeah.
Used to go out drinking in New Hartford. Know New Hartford at all?
No, I don't know New Hartford. Okay. I know Unadilla. I know Syracuse. I know Utica.
I will say very troubling.
I know Vernon Downs.
Yeah, Vernon Downs. We spent a lot of time in
Vernon
Downs.
The troubling aspect of the 25th anniversary invitation is that it came blind CC'd, so no one really knows who's invited. And a lot of people, Scott Lynn, who I started to talk, reached out to me and said, hey, what do you know about this thing? And I said, nothing. I got the invite. Like, you have no idea who's going to be there. And a list would be helpful because there may well be people there
that you don't want.
Or that I don't even know who they are.
I won't know who some of these people are, when they introduce themselves and say we work together closely.
No,
I will not know.
You just sort of came in and did your thing back then.
And left. Because I had another job.
Yeah.
I was working for the Post, and I was in and out and never stayed around and never hung out and never did anything like that. The great irony of this, and it really is an irony, is that Rich Gilgallon, who fashioned himself the coach.
Richie the coach.
The job he had before that was right here as a bartender.
Oh, that's right.
When it was Chadwick's at that time.
How about that?
He was a bartender here, and what was his famous slogan? Take it from the coach. Take it one day at a time.
That's right. He'd been in recovery for years.
Forever. Yep. And still
was
is.
The
still
team
is.
Like thought of because of the fan in New York? They
Correct.
And
here.
WTEM.
Total
but
rip
they could
off.
Pick those. They picked WTEM in order to get to the team. The Fan was started in New York with the two greatest people in the history of sports radio, Mike Francesa and Chris Russo.
Francesa, who...
Big story about Francesa yesterday in the Bill Simmons website, The Ringer.
Right.
Francesa promising to totally reinvent and be the only successful podcaster in the world.
But his radio show world. Coming to an end, I guess his contract's up the end of this year after 30 years...
That's the best show ever.
Okay.
I mean, that really is.
Well, Mike and the Mad Dog
is the best show ever. The guy who put that radio station together was a guy named Scott Meyer, and Scott Meyer put together WTEM originally. Because I remember him talking to me, and he was not at all enthusiastic about me working there. He just said, you know, we're looking for somebody from the Washington Post.
Yeah.
It was just as simple as that. We're looking for somebody from the Washington Post. I said, why? I said, well, you know, we think that if you're a newspaper guy, that gives us a little bit of credibility. So we're looking for you. We're looking at Boswell. We're looking at you. I said, well, take Boswell. Take somebody else.
They
what?
Made the right choice.
Leave me alone.
I don't mean to, I mean, I probably.
And he offered me no money.
I was just going to say.
Four hours.
I probably.
I said no.
I probably shouldn't ask this on the air, but would you mind sharing what you got paid that first year to do radio on that radio station? I mean, if I were guessing, I would say $50,000.
I was offered the original offer. So this is 1992,
right,
which is not that long ago. The original offer to do 4 hours of radio a day was $40,000. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that? And it's not, I'm not spitting at the money, but that's 4 hours of the day, and that's going to make it really hard to have my real job, which is writing a column for the Washington Post, so I'm not going to do that. It ended up being 2 hours.
Right.
And it ended up being a little bit more than that. Not much more than
not
that.
Bad.
You know
a little
what?
Bit more than that. But it was okay.
It's hard to make this show older than it actually already skews.
Yeah, but that
I'm
does.
I'm pretty sure we're back to Marconi now.
Yeah, so
I think
I'll
maybe.
Get on
Is this
it.
The old guy?
Anyway,
by
the way, I want to go to it.
I went to camp with a guy named Bob Gelb, who was the producer of Mike and the Mad Dog.
Yeah.
So I've known Bob forever. The stories between Chris Russo and Mike Francesa off the air. Wow.
They hated each other.
Read the Ringer story about...
They hated each other, but they were magic on the air.
Oh, no, no, they were the best.
They were
the gold standard, but my gosh, the dynamic between those two.
And I was interviewed for it, and I've forgotten what I said, other than the fact that those guys were great. They could and did often. I would get in the car in Washington, D.C., and a little bit north of Baltimore, I could pick up their station.
Yeah.
It was WNBC, right, in New York? Or WFAN?
WFAN, yeah. 660.
Okay, but that was the original
Sports
NBC.
Sports Radio 66.
Right. But that was the original WNBC 660.
WNBC, right.
I could pick that up a little bit north of Baltimore.
Well, at night you could probably get, well, I don't know if you could get it where you live, but I, in suburban, in Montgomery right. County, I could get it at night.
They would start
just boomed
on a double play in the second inning. And say how Horace Clark bailed out and couldn't make the throw because he was bailing out into left field. And you'd drive to the Lincoln Tunnel, they'd still be on that play. That one play. And they'd take a lot of calls, and they would go into great detail. And they were the word is indefatigable.
Yes.
They could do it for 100 straight hours, one play if they had to. And Russo
somehow
didn't
it would
mind.
Be, remain interesting, too.
Yeah, Russo didn't mind
the
at
best.
All. And they were great. And there's been nobody like them ever in the history of sports
no,
radio.
I don't think there
nobody.
Has.
Now, they've drifted apart. I mean, Chris makes a tremendous amount of money on Sirius XM. And I guess Francesa on the Yes Network made a lot of money.
Yeah.
You know,
both
and I
like solo
I like them both, but they were notorious for not liking each other.
Right.
And yet on the air... They were great
chemistry.
So, I mean, I think that happens a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's rare. I think the fact that Wilbon and I work together and really do like each other over a long period of time, I think that's rare.
Leon and Wendy Rieger, they get along?
I think they're getting
famously.
Along now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Everybody
yeah,
gets
good.
Along with Wendy.
Right,
I mean,
sure.
Everybody loves Wendy. Wendy should be in here. Wendy should do, you know, celebrity bartender. I mean, what are we waiting for on this?
Right.
Yeah. Don't you like to see Wendy?
Crowd
yeah,
like
the
that
crowd
yeah,
likes
the crowd
Wendy.
Loves
Can
that.
I get a call the day that she comes in, please?
Absolutely. You come up from wherever
As
you
As a kid who grew up in D.C., come on.
Yeah, Wendy
First person I walked up to in Rio. When I saw in the IBC, the International Broadcast Center, I'm walking around. You see all these different people from NBC, and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. I looked to my left. There's Wendy Rieger. I'm like, boom, Eli.
Right
up to Wendy Rieger, introduced myself. Man.
Yeah, she's fantastic. Everybody knows that. I was going to do the Nats.
There's your Thursday show.
I got nothing on the Nats. And I want to bring Sands back later to talk about why he's here with the golf.
That's a nice picture of Arch and Wendy.
That's very nice. Show that to Sands.
Yeah,
that's really good for audio visual. By the way, it was suggested to me yesterday
Fantastic.
By Matt Kelleher. It was Shannon's idea that we put a camera in this studio to broadcast to the people who sit in the restaurant to watch the show simply on closed circuit
monitor, yeah,
so they could watch, even though they could see us. So I said, do you, you're right there. You can see us. And people said, well, there are blind spots. There are blind spots, so we can't see.
Pay for the good seats.
Would that be okay? I don't. Shit. Jeannie's not going to like that.
Can't they just flip on News Channel 8?
No, we don't get it in here. So
Maybe they'd like the blind spots. Well, Maybe someone would actually rather eat their breakfast.
In the big picture sense, cameras in here are a good idea. I mean, I realize there's some issues for you, but for other podcasts that are going to be here that might want to simulcast online, that's a great idea.
Yeah. We should have cameras if you're able to do that. All right, is there anything that needs to be said? Michael planted last night.
Oh, good.
Michael, tell everybody what you did.
Well, you've been bothering me for the last week and a half
after
to put these tomatoes in the ground. And I'm trying to protect your crop because I've had some issues with the cold evenings and the onslaught of those mid-90s last week. So, yes, these tomatoes, we are hoping that they will turn up to be Campari tomatoes, are in the ground. We are looking for a first showing mid-late July. But yeah, in
is
the ground
your place
behind
or
the little
your
house.
Father's place?
That's mine.
So we split the crop. We're going to see if
Michael
if
grew
one,
them from seed.
Okay. Yes, if one does better than the other, we'll see who has better growing conditions.
And then Michael took two of them, or one of them. Did you take one of them or two of them?
I took one extra
as
home.
as a control yes. to see who you know who can grow these things better.
I love how he refers to it as the crop. It's like now we're Little House on the Prairie. Now we're back to the 18th century.
Well, this is the father-son out back. This was a great moment for us. If only we had a catch afterwards, it would have been even better.
Yeah, Michael tilled the soil himself with his own hands.
Hand-turned.
Yeah.
Well, hand-turned soil.
Everything. Came over and threw the Frisbee to the dog. It was a Melissa Gilbert moment.
Did you guys make some butter later?
We did not make butter.
Sure, butter.
Did you wear a gingham shirt?
I was not even invited for dinner afterwards. I'd been working outside for 45 minutes.
That is so not true. Your exact words to your wife were, all right, Liz,
let's get out of here.
Let's roll.
That's understandable.
He couldn't get out fast enough.
Believable and understandable.
Let me ask you this. The end when you're like, hey, it's kind of hot out here. Can I get something to drink?
It wasn't hot.
There's a hose.
The hose is right there. Just help yourself.
It wasn't
protection
hot.
Against critters.
We're working towards that.
There's no crop, so I think we're okay for the next week. But we're working on getting some netting. We got
to
get Wi-Fi
to
out
keep
there.
The deer-
Dad put the cages, but he doesn't
Wi-Fi for the plants.
Yeah, get it wired out there.
Oh, okay.
What do you want to do? Like play music to them at night? We don't need Wi-Fi. We need netting.
We're going
to
get your netting.
Yeah, a little chicken
to keep
wire,
the deer away.
Some deer netting.
Because the deer last year ate everything.
Yeah.
So hardwired, not Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you said Wi-Fi.
Yeah, okay, good. Just making sure.
All right, let's get out of here. Arch Campbell, when we return, I am Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's a SeatGeek ad. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there's a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just two taps of your phone. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. Steve, do they sell golf tickets? I assume they have a secondary market for golf tickets, too, although you just sort of wander the course.
Yes.
So all of these SeatGeek could get golf tickets.
Correct, absolutely. So you wander the course, but you still have to enter into the
course. So the tournament that you're doing this weekend, which you can now talk about.
The KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship.
At the old Lowe's Island Trump National at this point.
Exactly.
So you can, those tickets.
Unmistakably Trump, by the way. He loves those waterfalls, man.
Yes, he does. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for your buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every ticket is fully guaranteed. You can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. And best of all, listeners to this high-quality podcast, which got better because Sans is here, get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code Tony today. That is promo code Tony for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. And those of you live in the studio have seen that in Sans' honor, I have worn my Golf Network pullover. I have that on. He's got on a Washington Nationals shirt. So we've now discussed the variety of wardrobe we've got.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This is sent in by Ben Bollinger of a band called Six Bar Break. The song is called Cocktail. And he writes, Laura Little, Ira Palladian let us know that you're always looking for good original music to use on your show. Six Bar Break is a full throttle roots rock trio homed in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. We just passed through Harrisburg, Pennsylvania on the way to and from Binghamton, New York. We've been spreading the word about the band throughout the Mid-Atlantic and picking up new fans everywhere we go. Feel free to check out the attached track, Cocktail, or hit up our website, and we'd be happy to send you our favorite. Thanks for time and consideration, and writes, P.S., La Cheeserie for life.
There you go.
Which is wonderful. Arch Campbell joins us now. And before we get into any movies at all, the most important thing is this. We are supposed to play golf Saturday at 9 a.m., and it rains every minute of every single day. Are we still playing Saturday at 9?
No, I think we're going swimming.
Is that, yeah, because it's really awful the last week.
See, I looked in the paper today, and it's supposed to be okay Saturday. So I honestly believe that we'll be able to play. So there. How about that?
Power of positive thinking.
Oh. All right. But I think we're going to be, I think there'll be no carts, which is okay because we'll walk. It's not that big a deal. Do you want to discuss?
You know, of optimism, I just thought I would establish firmly and finally that the only way I can be on your show is for Ann Hornaday to be out of the country or to get hit on the head by a golf ball.
Right.
Let's just start with that.
Yes, but you and Ann are going to end up doing a podcast with Nigel, and you're going to be the most successful movie podcasters in the entire world.
I am very excited about that. And actually, I played in a pro-am the other day, and one of the pros mentioned the podcast.
Really?
The word is getting out. I think the world of Ann. And Ann and I had done two or three programs at the Newseum together for AARP. One of them was the 10 baby boomer movies with the most influence. And
right.
Loved working with her. That was a pilot for the OPN, but we didn't get picked up, so we got this podcast instead.
So it doesn't bother you that Anna said, no matter how much money Arch gets, I need to get double? That doesn't bother you?
I'll ride Ann Hornaday's coattails any day.
Do you want to disclose your strategy for the tournament that we're playing in on Monday, where you're playing from?
Well, I am, okay, I'll say it, I am over 70. Now,
God bless you.
And so, therefore, I qualify for the gold tees. I don't play the front tees except in a tournament.
Right.
So I'm going to move forward and see what happens. Just any advantage. You know, any advantage. That's all I want.
All right. So Steve Sands is here from the Golf Channel.
And
Sands, when a guy moves up, when you go to the forward tees, how much do you drop? In other words, if you're playing to an 18 or a 19, how much does that drop if you move up?
Five shots aside.
Arch, you better play from the back.
Yeah, but the last time I did it, I was like 8 shots ahead. So I think it's a positive move. You have to play a little better, and you're up there a little closer. And I'm just going to lean on you a little bit more.
No. I think we're all going to lean on you because you're beating the system. You're gaming the system here. You're certainly capable of staying back on the whites, and you're going to move on.
We are friends, Tony.
That's right.
What we do? We hate the same people, and we game the system.
Arch is a sandbagger. Who knew?
No, only in the tournaments, because we're looking for glassware, Sands.
Wow.
We're looking for glassware and shop credit.
Shop credit, right? Wow.
Shop credit is everything that we
do. Bonnie's going to be very upset to know that Arch doesn't play by the rules on the golf course.
He takes advantage
of the rules.
What? The rules say I can move up. So, what am I going to do?
Moving up.
Years ago, when I was working at Channel 7, I was friends with a young girl, and, she would come in, and we would visit and talk and kind of flirt, and they would post your birthday. And so it was my birthday. She comes and she says, oh, happy birthday. I said, well, I'm 65 today. I don't feel like it, and I don't think I act it, and I don't think I look it. Do you? And she said, well, yeah.
So there you go. You got that going for you, which is nice. All right.
I mentioned something to Steve Sands, whom I'm a big fan of.
He's right
here.
Loves
to go on NBC and the Golf Channel. I've told Tony this story. I knew a guy in college and went to high school with his wife named Bruce Hooper. And he became a golf pro, and he developed macular degeneration. So he started playing on the blind golf tour, and now he works for the Lighthouse for the Blind. They had a pro-am out at Woodmont this week. I have played golf with him. He can see like 4 feet ahead, and that's it. And he shoots one or two over par, and it was actually really inspiring. And I don't know if you know Bruce or these blind golfers, but it's really something to see. And I want to give him a plug. He's a nice guy. Lighthouse for the Blind.
Have you ever heard of the Blind Golf Tour?
Yes. I've heard of Bruce Hooper, too.
Oh, you have?
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, because that would sound like a nice feature.
I've seen features over the years on Golf Channel getting done by the news guys. They're unreal. It's, well, like watching blind skiers.
He has blind
golfers are amazing.
There's a famous story of blind golf, famous joke about blind golf, and the punchline of it is this. Oh, yeah, well, why can't they play at night if they're blind? Because they're slowing up the course.
The name of the pro-am is the shot in the dark.
Yeah, yeah.
They play at 9 o'clock at night with glow balls. Yeah. And it's all to benefit the lighthouse.
It's a great idea.
It's cool. Bruce Hooper, right?
Yeah.
I play with Bruce when I go back to my hometown of San Antonio at Brackenridge Park, which is Michael in there?
Michael's here.
Yes.
It's a Tellinghast design, and they renovated it about 8 years ago, and it's a lovely, lovely, it's the first public golf course in Texas, now 100 years old. Narrow.
So are we.
Lots of, not like me, lots of bunkers. So, Tellinghast, Bruce Hooper, that's what I got.
Spurs, Arch.
Yeah, what about Baywatch? What about... let me just preface this by saying that I find The Rock to be incredibly attractive guy on television and movies. I mean, I think he's a big star. I've always liked Zac Efron. I know that it's a dopey show, Baywatch, so I figured they would make fun of themselves and make fun of it. And I looked at this and I thought, maybe this is really good. You've seen it. Is it really good?
It's a piece of crap.
Are you sure?
Okay. Really?
I'm getting the rap now. It's a piece of crap.
That's too bad.
Here's why.
Yeah.
They don't go far enough. You know, the commercials, you see all the funny things, but once it gets started, it's not very funny. It's the same old wink, wink, nod, nod.
Right.
Somebody's trying to buy up the beach, and they're trying to keep them from doing it. And by the time David Hasselhoff and Pamela Anderson show up toward the end, and when that happens, it's just the last wheeze. It's not very good. It's not good in the manner that, like, 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, that was very
hilarious.
Good.
Was just a string of laughs.
Very good.
Two Jump Street, the same thing. You can make fun of a TV show and it can work. But Baywatch, I think they let it bog down. They went for some cheap, not very funny jokes. You know, all of these movies now, they have one of those moments that just makes you squirm. And this one is just, I'm not a fan.
Okay, all right.
The other thing... Yeah, I understand. I still go to the movies. When I left TV, I thought, that's it. I'm going to take a break from the movies, like Stephen Hunter did. But I still love going. I go, and I'm maintaining two or three websites, and I'm very excited about this podcast. But I could not make myself go see Johnny Depp in the fifth Pirates of the Caribbean. If there ever was a... didn't see it, don't want to see it, that's the one, because I just can't stand the thought of watching Johnny Depp turn into a hack.
You think that this is bad for his acting reputation, because you think he's a great actor, right?
Remember Benny and June,
yes.
Donnie Brasco?
Mm-hmm.
What's Eating Gilbert Group? He made so many great movies. Ed Wood.
Oh,
I want to remember him doing that stuff. I'm sick of this. And I'm sure it'll do a lot of business. But this is one of the things that is grinding movies into the ground.
The fact that good actors do junk all the time.
Just, you know, get something and just drive it into the ground.
So what did you think of him? Okay, I liked him as Dillinger, and that's about 10 or 12 years ago. I was not crazy about him as Whitey Bulger.
Black
the makeup
mass.
Got to me. Right. I liked the action of it, but I wasn't crazy about him with it unless he was punching somebody in the head or something like that. What do you think, he's still a good actor, or do you think that the sort of corruption of money and this franchise has taken away from his ability to act anymore?
I think he's going for the money. You know, you don't even have to like Whitey Bulger, and yeah, he did look pretty silly in some of those.
I thought he did. Yeah.
But he took the challenge. He took the part.
Right.
What's the challenge in Pirates of the Caribbean number 5?
Well, nothing. I mean, you become like Sylvester Stallone at some point.
How quickly
going
can you
the
deposit
motions.
The check?
Yeah.
I think is the hardest part.
Now, I am looking on his filmography, and there's a movie, I guess, coming out later this year, a remake of Murder in the Orient Express.
Really?
Yeah.
Why do we need that?
I don't know. It's been a while.
But the other one's really good.
It is really good.
It's really good.
Yeah,
why do we need
people
it again?
Said that about Footloose, though, too. And the remake was awesome. So, yeah.
So do you, you want to tout?
I'll see you tomorrow. And I got a movie that I'm pushing for you.
Go
and
ahead.
Norman with Richard Gere.
Right.
Have you been put onto this?
No, we talked to Ann about it. Ann liked it a lot. There were two Richard Gere movies, and she liked Norman more than the other one.
Norman is terrific. It's over at Landmark, and it's about this Sammy Glick kind of character
right.
living in Manhattan. And he's always trying to get some traction, trying to put somebody together with another person, trying to be important, and he, out of the blue, makes a connection with the stranger, and over the years, the stranger becomes the prime minister of Israel, and suddenly, he's got friends in high places, and that's when it all unravels. It's just a great, great movie, and you would, it's your kind of movie.
I'll go. I will go see that, because I think it's going to rain for the next 40 weeks. So
well,
at some
I
point,
think
I'll go
we're
going
to be out there. On
well, we're going to be out there. That doesn't mean we're going to actually play. Doesn't mean we're going to get through it, but we'll be out there. All right, I'll see you Saturday. Thank you, Arch.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Arch Campbell, boys and girls. My favorite person in the world, just about. We will take a break. We will come back with Nigel and News. I am Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Whether football, basketball, or baseball is your sport of choice, you know that the key to winning is a strong roster. And great coaches know that having the right players comes from scouting in all the right places. Finding great talent for your business isn't any different. You can't find all the best candidates by posting your job on just one site. You need to post on all the top job sites, and now you can with ZipRecruiter. At ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 100-plus job sites with one click. Then their powerful technology efficiently matches the right people to your position. And that's why ZipRecruiter is different. Unlike other job sites, ZipRecruiter does not depend on candidates finding you. It finds them. In fact, over 80% of jobs posted on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate in just 24 hours. There's no juggling emails or calls to your office. Simply screen, rate, and manage candidates all in one place with ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use dashboard. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by businesses of all sizes nationwide. And right now, listeners to this podcast can start forming their own winning team on ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. That's ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Tony. Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/Tony.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
This comes to us from Marcus Enriquez. My name is Marcus. I listen almost daily from Los Angeles. It has been nice getting a different perspective and getting some insight into DC and chatter. You guys have practically turned me into a Wizards fan since you replaced my LA morning talk radio and considering the Lakers season. Maybe the Wizards will be my East Coast team. Chatter will definitely be my East Coast restaurant when I visit. Good. I'm an aspiring musician, which is maybe a bit strong, but considering you're a bunch of classy individuals, maybe you'd appreciate a classical song. Plus, it seems like a good time with Tony's promotion to doctor. It's a bit simple, but in this complicated world, perhaps we forget how beautiful simple can be. Oh, I call this song The Truth. Keep up the great work. I look forward to listening to more.
It's lovely.
That's very, very
kind
nice.
Kind of haunting.
Michael, sort of a Philip Glass thing going on there.
When people have original music and they want to send it, how do they do it?
As always, they can email jingles at tonykornheiser.com. They might just get a personal email back from Dr. Tony Kornheiser.
They might. Are we selling anything today?
Yes, we
always.
Are. We're always selling. We're slinging hats and t-shirts at shop.tonykornheisershow.com. And before the Father's Day push, which we will release on the day after Labor Day, Tuesday the 30th.
Not Labor Day.
My mistake.
Right.
Everyone confuses them.
That'd be a big tease.
Right.
You can still use the Tony K discount code through Johnny O. I checked. It is still live.
Steve Sands, a big pal of John himself, right? Big pal.
Love John. Don't like him. Love him.
Okay.
Absolutely love him. Great guy.
So, all right. So, Nigel, you have news?
I do indeed. And I'd like to point out that this newscast is brought to us by the official Tony Kornheiser snow tires. You can get those on the website as well.
Yes.
We'd love to push those.
Right next to the steaks.
Right here we sell steaks and snow tires. It's brilliant. Mr. Tony, I'll take you out to Montana.
By the way, we have a very nice crowd for breakfast.
Yes, it's a great crowd.
And I should mention that tomorrow, we're dark tomorrow. We're not doing the show from here tomorrow. People can still come for breakfast, but we're not going to be here
and
tomorrow.
And also on Monday, we should probably play
Monday,
that
yes.
as well.
No, I'm playing a golf tournament on Monday. The Columbia Memorial Day Golf Tournament. Yes, so, because I wasn't invited.
Will the purple line get in the way of
Oh, yes, it will.
Not on Monday.
Not on Monday, but it will get in the way. Yeah. It will get in the way. We don't, and by we, I don't want the purple line. Me. I don't want it.
Your position is fairly clear
on
that.
It is clear.
Yes.
There's no ambiguity to it. Don't want it.
None. We'll take you out to Montana, Mr. Tony.
This is a great story.
Yes, where there's a special election for a vacant seat in your house.
I think the Republican in the House became one of the secretaries, like the Interior or something like
yes.
that.
Yeah, yeah. moved on to take a cabinet position. Yeah. So now there's a special election set for Thursday. So
Thursday's today.
Yes, I guess that would be today.
You could say today.
Special
so this
election
is a rather
even in Montana,
story.
As far away as it is from us.
I
Thursday
was thinking
is today.
It was next Thursday, but no, this really
it's
is today.
It's today.
Yes. So Greg Gianforte is the Republican who's running for it, and
in a very red state, and figures to win.
Race close, but closer than it should have been.
Much
probably.
Closer.
And I guess he was having some sort of barbecue for volunteers, and at the
I
end of
know.
This. There was a reporter from The Guardian, a bloke by the name of Ben Jacobs, that walked up with a tape recorder and wanted to get his reaction to the CBO's statement on the healthcare.
Which said that 23 million more people would be uninsured if this was passing.
Now, what happened is being contested. Unfortunately for Mr. Gianforte, his story is completely being contradicted by actual eyewitnesses.
That's right.
But what happened was Jacobs went up and stuck the microphone in his face, and Gianforte... According
which,
to his,
by the way, happens 100% of the time with politicians.
Yes.
100% of the time.
I'll just read you what the eyewitness is from Fox News. So this is not something...
Well, there was a Fox News TV crew there.
...setting up to do a story, and they said this. Gianforte told him he would get back to him later. Jacobs persisted with his question. Gianforte told him to talk to his press guy. At that point, Gianforte grabbed Jacobs by the neck with both hands and slammed him to the ground behind him. They watched in disbelief as Gianforte then began punching the reporter. As Gianforte moved on top of Jacobs, began yelling something to the effect of, "I'm sick and tired of this." At that point, Jacobs scrambled to his knees, said something about, "You broke my glasses." And then he asked all the Fox reporters, "I need all your names because I'm calling the police now." And in fact,
and he's been arrested for assault. He's been cited for assault.
Misdemeanor assault. Of course, his account that they sent out was, "It's a shame that this aggressive member of the liberal press, stuck his microphone in his face and then grabbed his hand. They both inadvertently tumbled to the ground."
You can hear the audio online and draw your own conclusion.
And then we tumbled to the ground and then we said, "I think we're alone now." No.
Tragically, there isn't video of this.
No,
but the
sound.
Right.
But
the
sound
audio
is pretty
awesome.
Clear.
Yeah, it's pretty damning.
The Gianforte was through the guy down.
And went 0 to 60 like
bang.
That.
Yeah.
By the way, the statement from his group came before the audio was released.
Right, and probably was regretted.
That's the best part.
So as somebody involved in politics, this happens. This will get enormous play in the state of Montana within hours of polls opening and an election. Will it have an effect
well,
on...
Well, and evidently all the newspapers in Montana, how many of them are there, by the way?
One or two.
Pulled their support of Gianforte, which I don't know how much difference that makes.
He's a lunatic.
Well, many of those ballots have been cast already.
Yeah, they said seven out of ten have already been cast.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, because it was a special election. And
then it won't affect.
But I, and by the way, we all have to remember how we view things and how other people view things, because we're the Acela Corridor or whatever they call us, right?
Right.
And just because we think it is appalling that a politician took down this reporter who was just trying to do his job, there might be some people in other parts of the country going, "Yeah."
That's no, my first reaction was, I would love to do this to Saliza. Just a good old-fashioned choke slam. And I thought of it when I heard that dweeb go, "You broke my glasses." I was thinking, I'd love to break
By the way,
I think I might punch
him
in the face.
On the way in here this morning, I was listening to Morning Joe on the radio.
Uh-huh.
And somebody was being interviewed and said they don't have to seat him. If he wins the election, they cannot seat him as a congressman.
Because he's in jail for assaulting someone?
I don't know. They didn't have a...
Can you serve from jail? I think you can.
Well, I'm sure you can.
Yeah.
Huey Adonisio, who was the mayor of Newark in the 1970s, was the mayor of Newark from jail. Yes, you can. But I think you can also get the boot.
Hasn't Marion Barry done that a few times?
I think he was not actually the mayor at that point. Mm. So anyway, okay, what else do we have?
I will take you to Hagerstown, Mr. Tony.
This is right up the road.
This is very interesting story.
Yes, talking about the Heritage Academy, which is a small Christian school in Hagerstown.
We are huge in Hagerstown.
We are. Mm-hmm. We've been told that for years now. Matty Runkles is a senior there, a 4.0 student, by the way, and at one point was the student council president. This past January, she discovered that she was pregnant. Informed the school where her father was on the board. And initially, the school told Runkles that she would be suspended, removed from her role as student council president, and would have to finish the rest of the school year at home. The family appealed and said, you know, can you let her finish with her other 14 classmates? So this is not a very large
school. Very, very small school. Religious based. This is important in the narrative to say that they are very upfront about what their requirements are for you being a student.
They said, okay, she can finish out the year, but in a letter just last week, they said that she would not be allowed to walk with the other students to get her diploma. And in writing this, they said, not because she is pregnant.
Sam's getting breakfast. Very good.
Wow.
Very big deal.
Nice looking.
You don't eat when you're on the air, Sam's rookie.
Not because she's pregnant, but because she was immoral.
This is the actual word.
Yes.
The actual quote is not because she is pregnant, but because she was immoral.
Yes. The best way to love her right now is to hold her...
Is public school or private school?
Private school.
Is to hold her accountable for her morality that began this situation.
You're always good to people. You're the mom.
Yeah.
You're the
mom.
What do you got, Mom?
Where are you on this?
I have mixed feelings on this.
Because the school states what its values are and what its guidelines are.
And I wonder when you enter the school, do you sign something? Are you, do you do the honor code you do at a lot of schools? And if so, then maybe those are their rules. I don't like them. I don't like their rules. But if those are the rules and she and her family knew that coming in. But I was thinking, this, of course, flashback going back to the 19th century when I was in high school. A couple, we'll call them Jack and Diane, because protect your identities.
Little ditty about
them. Jack and Diane. Two American kids doing the best they can.
Exactly. John Cougar Mellencamp.
Exactly. Wow. Engaged in certain activity, and Diane becomes pregnant. Fine, we were all, it's a small class, we're okay with this, right? The school asked her, she decides to keep the baby, she's going to have the baby. And the school asked her to leave for the remainder of her pregnancy. They did not ask the father to leave. And I went bat bleep.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was so angry. It was incredibly hypocritical. Now, in this case, I understand the father was not in the high school.
That's right.
Not in the high school. One of the things that the young woman says is there have been kids who have broken the student code and they could have hurt people or even gone to jail and they only received an in-school suspension and they're allowed to walk this year. The school is worried about its reputation, but I think they're missing out on an incredible opportunity to set an example for the pro-life community and Christian schools about how to treat guys and girls like me. The principal, this is a direct quote, the breach of a standard of abstinence is a grievous choice. Maddie made a grievous choice. We do believe in forgiveness, but forgiveness does not mean there's no accountability. Ooh. This is, you mentioned Footloose earlier in the show. This is awful.
Yeah.
I have mixed emotions because I am sure that they have a code that says this is what we believe in, but there is no compassion here.
Right.
No compassion whatsoever. Yeah. She's being shunned.
Well, I don't know. I mean, compassion would be like an expulsion or something. I mean, they're allowing her to get her diploma. They're just telling her she can't walk. I'm not, just before everyone goes nuts, I'm not defending the decision.
Right.
But they didn't say, get out, you've broken the rules.
Did you ever expect
but
a
that
story
means they're
like
only
this?
They're only worried about the optics of it. If
right.
They're giving
yeah.
her their diploma right. but not letting her walk.
Like, would they have,
about the
would
optics.
They have preferred she get an abortion and never tell them? I mean, they would view that as far more immoral, I imagine.
I would think.
But they would not would know in that
and,
instance.
You know, again, the difference between Hagerstown and Washington, D.C. A few years ago, a school in Northwest D.C., a private school, young lady gets in this state, and the school sends out an all family email to everyone announcing that so-and-so was with child and that they would be supporting her in this way, and they held a shower for her. A baby shower.
Yeah, I don't know about them.
I don't know about that.
Just saying.
This is the difference between Fox News and MSNBC.
This is the extreme.
The kid in reading this, strikes you as a courageous and pretty impressive kid, I thought.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sounds very bright. 4-0. So, anyway. Okay.
Wow.
What else?
Mr. Tony, Chris Bosh and the Miami Heat have agreed to part ways. They have come to a resolution that would allow all parties to move on. Bosh, age 33, hasn't played, as you know, since February of 2016.
He wants to play.
Because of blood clot
issues.
He has
blood clots.
Yes.
He has serious health issues that crop up randomly. I'm not sure that any team doctors are going to say this is a good idea. I'm not sure about that. I think it's the end of his career. By the way, he'd be a great guy to do play-by-play or call. You know Bosh at all?
Chris is tremendous. A very bright man.
He did that commercial with Arnold Palmer for Xarelto. Yep. Xarelto now, I don't know.
By the way, no other NBA team, not that he will be blackballed or anything like that, but no other NBA team would take the risk of bringing on someone who has that kind of condition.
Oh, sure they would. I think they would provided.
Oh, I don't think so.
Provided.
That he gives them immunity to anything that happens to him.
That he just signs sort of, look, anything that happens to you is on you. But it's just, in this instance.
How could he do that? He couldn't.
They say this, under the current rules, if he were to turn and play more than 25 games for another team, his salary cap hit would return to the Heat's books, and they would potentially face luxury tax penalties. So
I don't think he's going to play.
Yeah,
I think he wants to play. I think he's not going to play. What else?
I want to take you to Bay City, Michigan, Mr. Tony.
For the Bay City Rollers.
Is that where they're from?
No.
Okay. Well, Linda Stevenson is from Bay City, and she had to go to the court to just some minor business that she had to go there. And, of course, when you go to a courthouse, you have to put all your bags through the X-ray machine. So she did that. The X-ray machine operator, a bloke by the name of Deputy Pat McIver, pushed the button for it to go through, and then it started making noises. And I said, what was that? And she goes, Linda says, oh, that's just my monkey. Okay.
What?
McIver says, well, ma'am, I'm going to have to actually need to see your monkey. So she unzipped her purse. The monkey stuck its head out, looked around, and then she zipped it back up. McIver told Steven she could not bring the monkey into the building, so she returned him to the car, then conducted her business and moved on. So afterwards, they said, what is the deal with the monkey? She said she took the monkey out, climbed in her arm, climbed, you know, across her shoulder, did everything that she said with perfect instructions, and then when she said, get back in the purse, he jumped right back in the purse. And apparently she has lobbied to get special dispensation to have
service
this monkey. Yes, as a service monkey.
I'm sorry, I was only half paying attention. Was that about someone unzipping something to show someone their monkey?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard you describing?
You lost me at unzipping.
Okay.
Yes. So there you go. That's it. Just want to tell you a cute monkey story.
I have so many questions. So you said she put it in her car?
Cute
then
now,
did she go off on her trip and leave the poor monkey in
well,
the car?
Well, no, she just went to the courthouse. She was just there for a few minutes. But,
but what if it was really hot in the car? And what
I
if,
think she
you know,
cracked, can't cracked the window. And it's Michigan, so it doesn't get that hot in Michigan.
Well, it's cute
it?
Now, but when it grows up to be a gorilla.
That's
be
right.
Like,
was it herd picking NFL games?
The monkey does not, no. It can only grow to be 25 to 35 centimeters, so it's not a big.
Ooh, that's like 10 inches.
It's a purse monkey. You know, it's a purse monkey. Wouldn't you like to have one
of
those?
It's an accessory monkey.
No.
Yes.
No, I don't want that.
There you
go. I don't.
We could get one to do your job.
I don't. No.
Just push the buttons. Probably be an improvement.
All right, is that it?
That is actually it.
All right, let's get out of here. Wow. We'll come back with Old Guy Radio.
Always.
And we will ask Steve Sands all about why he's in Washington,
D.C. I was talking to Sands.
I'm Tony Kornheiser.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show. The Tony Kornheiser Show.
Here's the MeUndies ad. Elevate your underwear game to the next level with MeUndies. You've perfected your wardrobe, but what about the stuff not everybody gets to see? If you've been settling for store-bought underwear 5-packs, I have something that will change your life for the better, and that is MeUndies. What's the first thing you put on, the last thing you take off? It's your underwear. Make your most important piece of clothing the best it can be with MeUndies. So, Steve, if you were say you're out on an assignment for the Golf Channel.
Right.
And someone suggested to you that you do an underpants ad, you know, like on the tower on 17. What would your reaction be?
Negative.
Okay, great. Because that's why I do them. What is MeUndies? Just seriously soft, feel-good undies delivered right to your door. MeUndies are designed in Los Angeles. I always wonder why they say that. And made from sustainably sourced micromodal, a fabric 3 times softer than cotton. MeUndies, softer than soft luxe undies, come in an ever-changing selection of classic colors, bold shades, and adventurous patterns so you can tailor your undies to your own personal style. We get so many people here. We ought to be able to get some underpants for some of the, you know, to get, as giveaways.
I got a new package of MeUndies last night, so I can bring those in.
Bring them in.
You'll just trust me that they are.
Come for the breakfast, stay for the underwear.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Guess what? You can save time and money each month with a monthly subscription. If you're not ready for a subscription, it's okay. You can still save. And that's because MeUndies is offering you 20% off your first pair. Just use our special URL, MeUndies.com/TonyK. Get 20% off your first pair. Go ahead and revamp your underwear drawer. You deserve it. Once again, that is MeUndies.com/TonyK. MeUndies.com/TonyK.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Tony Kornheiser Show.
You said I would know it on the first thing. What you want, baby, I got it. What you need, baby, you know I got it. What you want, honey, you got it. Old guy radio for the day. What were you thinking when you picked it?
Just that I love this song.
Respect, Otis Redding.
Love this song.
There is a version, in terms of critical commentary, there was a much bigger hit version of Respect by Aretha Franklin, which cannot touch this song. It's fine. It's fine. It can't touch this song.
It's better than fine.
It's fine.
They're different.
This song is great. This is like right out of the Dirty Dancing catalog, which I understand. Michael, did you say that there was a play of Dirty Dancing that was on TV last night?
There was a new movie of it that was getting widely panned on Twitter. So it was one of those things you have to watch live just to be able to follow along with the hashtag as people crush it. And so you're sitting there waiting for the final scene.
Waiting for nobody puts baby in the corner?
Yeah, the line was underwhelming.
Yeah, it's a great movie. I've seen it, I guess, 55 times. I really think it's great. But another remake that's unnecessary.
Right.
Utterly stupid and unnecessary. Steve Sands of the Golf Channel. And more importantly, of Calvert Woodley and La Chiserie. And I took great pride in showing him on the chatter menu La Chiserie, which is a cheese board.
I took a picture of it. I will be texting that to Easy Ed and Big Bonnie. They will get a kick out of that.
That's good to know. So why are you in D.C.?
I just wanted to hang out in the rain.
Yeah.
Nice weather here, by the way.
Yeah.
The KitchenAid Senior PGA Championship is in town over at Trump over in Northern Virginia. So part of our Ryder Cup deal with the PGA of America is that we also do the senior PGA and we also do the women's PGA, which is in Chicago this year.
So you're here for an actual golf tournament.
Yeah, the senior PGA. It's actually the oldest championship in senior golf.
And it is being played at what used to be Lowe's Island,
right,
which Donald Trump bought years ago.
Right.
Converted it into Trump National or International, because he uses both.
Trump National in this case.
Trump National in this case. The contracts for this were signed long before he announced for the presidency, I would assume.
Yeah, the PGA of America has a long-standing relationship with Trump.
Yes.
And actually, he will also host, up in New Jersey, host a U.S. Women's Open.
Which Michael and I have played. We played that course in Bedminster, which is a beautiful course.
Right. I'll tell you what, no matter what you say about Trump, doesn't matter what your ideology is, he is a golf fan, and he puts a lot of money into the golf
space.
Maybe
he could kill the purple line because it's going right through a golf course.
You know what? When I see him Sunday, I'll let him know that the purple line needs to get rinsed.
Okay, so here's what we're getting to. Long before he became a political figure and was a game show host or whatever you would call that thing, a reality TV star, he signs this, and everybody likes him because of golf, because he's very good for golf. This automatically becomes politicized now.
Correct.
Automatically. Will there be protesters?
Yes.
What are you anticipating? Because this is a different – you're going to have to cover this in a different way than you cover a regular golf tournament.
We had long Wednesdays for people who don't know. It's boring. But on Wednesdays, we have production meetings. We have meetings with the people who are putting on the events. Yesterday, there was a little bit more significance put on things that are going outside of the sporting event. In network television, there are three divisions. There's entertainment, there's news, and there's sports. For us who do sports, we're not really into the politicizing and all that. We're just here to cover a golf tournament, a hockey game, a football game, a basketball game. It doesn't matter what it is. In this case, it's a golf tournament. However, with the sitting president and he being the owner of the golf course, there will be protests outside of the front gates. The PGA of America has set aside a spot for people to protest if they choose to over the course of the next 4 days, and they are expecting them to. And also, it sits on the Potomac River.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I did not know this until yesterday, is Maryland. The Maryland side, the land is Virginia, but the Potomac itself is all Maryland.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So the people who will be governing all of the protests with the kayakers and the canoes.
Oh, there'll be people out there?
There's a huge, huge throng of people there on Saturday and Sunday who are expected to sit on the river.
Comey Cove.
Sit on the river and hold up signs. And, you know, if there are bullhorns and there are things that get involved with the event.
Right in the middle of your swing?
We're going to have to cover that.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Is Donald Trump himself expected to be there?
He gets back on Saturday from this long trip, multiple countries, and he is expected to arrive on Sunday. And If he does and agrees to do it, yes, I'll be doing
that. That's
what,
great.
Tori has her hand up.
Yeah. I think Steve appearing on the podcast is driving up the ratings for this tournament. I don't know how much people watch, but I think the potential of a sea assault makes this really exciting.
You're not wrong often, but you're wrong right now.
Didn't you have a Trump... I guess it wasn't an interview, but you saw. Didn't you see him at a tournament?
Yeah, I mean, we've known him just because we do golf. We've known him for a long time. I mean, I could go into long stories about Donald Trump and some of his scenes at Doral and that kind of stuff. But yeah, we've known Donald for a long time.
So what? There's a bunch of things that are interesting to me about this, including his potential appearance. What some people will protest, and again, I don't know what the answer to this is, but that his name being affiliated with this tournament will drive up business on his property, which will enrich the family, and people will go crazy, and they'll say this is an ethics Correct. Violation. And I don't know how it is if this was signed, if the deal is signed 4 years ago. But well, that will be out there. Somebody's going to have to deal with that.
Correct. There's so many fascinating things about this.
The security.
The PGA Tour, mm-hmm. the security out there is incredible, and the PGA of America, the people at the club, they have... The rise in security for an event like this is not the PGA Championship. This is the Senior PGA Championship. Completely different ballgame as far as how many people will be out there. The security is incredible. What's interesting about, from a golf standpoint, from a sports standpoint, do you want to be affiliated with Donald Trump? Do you not want to be affiliated with Donald Trump? Now, before he won the presidency, most people would have told you in the sports space, let's not get involved with him, the things he said when he got off the bus and all the things that he said controversially about immigrants and about Mexicans and all these different things. Again, whatever your ideology is. The PGA Tour had been at Doral for 5 decades.
Wow.
They are no longer at That's Doral. Right. That right. event, by the way, is in Mexico City. Now, that was done.
That was deliberate.
That was deliberate.
Yeah.
Or I don't know if it was done deliberately, but
it
seemingly looked like it was. The PGA of America chose to stay in business with Donald Trump.
Yes.
The PGA of America is different than the PGA Tour. The USGA with the U.S. Women's Open has chosen to stay in business with Trump, whereas the PGA Tour decided not to stay in business with him. It's fascinating in that regard.
I think the U.S. Women's one could be more problematic.
In a protesting sense?
Yeah. And people questioning why are they associated with...
Now, here's what's interesting. So because we do the Women's PGA Championship, the Golf Channel has me do one LPGA event before that, so we kind of get a little bit of a sense of what's going on there. So I was in Texas a few weeks ago at the Volunteers of America Texas Shootout. All of the women on the LPGA Tour are huge Donald Trump supporters. Because not that they voted that way, but because he's been so good to golf. And when you play on the LPGA Tour and you are supported by whether it's a sponsor or an individual, in this case in Donald Trump, through his courses or through events, they are massive supporters. They are totally cool with him hosting the U.S. Women's Open, whereas some of the PGA Tour guys and some of the people in the PGA of America perhaps might not be.
So
but the U.S.
Let me go
the
to this
LPGA
issue.
Definitely is supportive.
Barry's Verluga had a column in the paper today.
Saw Barry yesterday. It was great to see him.
Right, in which he quoted 3 different players, I believe, John Daly, Fred Funk, and there was somebody else, but very positively about Donald Trump. There were no negative, unless I misread it, no negative quotes. Do you get the sense that golfers for years and years and years, golfers' big issue in politics was always the same. Why am I being taxed?
Taxes. Yeah.
Why am I being taxed at all? And you would go, well, everybody gets taxed. You'd say, well, but I don't have a contract. Why should I be taxed? And well, you earned money, and that's how it works.
Income.
They have been, in terms of sports, most athletes tend to the right. Golfers tend to the right more even than most athletes. Do you get that sense with the senior tour?
There's no tend in golf. I mean, they are four right as far as that goes.
Right.
And I don't mean F-O-U-R. I mean F-O-R-E.
Four.
There are, I believe, 8 or 9 players in the field alone this week who will have on their shirt the Trump logo.
Including Fred Funk.
They are massive supporters of people who support their own. And Trump is a huge golf guy. He supports the golf business. He has spent millions, hundreds of millions of dollars on golf. So for them, they see it as another opportunity to play for large amounts of money, and they are all for Trump. I mean, all for Donald Trump hosting this week at Trump National and him being involved in golf forever.
Is this a four-round tournament? A lot of the senior tournaments are three.
It is. It's a four. The majors are four rounds with a cut.
Is it going to start tomorrow, Friday, and go all the way through Memorial Day?
No, no, no. It's a Thursday to Sunday.
Oh, Thursday to Sunday.
We don't go on the air till 1 o'clock today. We drop it, what, 11 a.m. here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we don't go on till 1 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
All right, other questions. The amazing Rory McIlroy TaylorMade ball ad.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Is that scripted or did he actually say those things in a live interview?
A little bit of both. Good stuff. I mean, he is.
It is a totally persuasive ad.
Yes, it's fantastic. As I've said to you before, on and off the show, Rory McIlroy totally gets it. If you were ever going to have a golfer on your show, and I know you don't like to have athletes.
I got
on.
Michael.
Of
I got
course,
Michael.
I understand. But if you were
Michael
ever going to
qualified for the Maryland,
if you had to pick, if you had to pick one guy to go to dinner with, have a few beers with, as far as life, politics,
Rory.
Sports, all things golf, anything you want to talk about, Rory's the kid you want to be.
You could make an exception for him.
Yeah, Rory's I mean, I would great. Do that. I watched him at Congressional when he won the Open. I mean, he and everybody loved him, and he went out and was hanging around with college kids that night. I mean, in big time anybody.
After Manchester the other night. After the terrible explosion in Manchester the other night, first golfer to tweet was McIlroy. I am equally disgusted and angry as I am disappointed in what's going on in the world. And he had a very smart, contextual text, tweet. And he's just he's a bright kid and a sharp, sharp guy to be around.
Other question. Drops like a bombshell yesterday.
Oh,
affects the
I saw
PTI,
that on PTI. You
rundown.
Were fired up on PTI.
Totally fired up for this.
Wilbon with a pause. You... leaping in.
Oh, I get teased. I drink the Kool-Aid every single time he says, and here's my schedule. And he gives you five tournaments, and then at number six on the first tournament, he goes, oh, my back. And then he's out. and he's done this 1,000 times, it seems. This one really seems like he feels healthy. What do you think?
You were so excited yesterday. The stethoscope actually fell off your neck.
Yes.
You know, look, I think that we've gotten to the point now. Remember when Sergio hadn't won a major and we used to talk before every major, do you think this is the one?
And then we stopped.
It wasn't until we quit on him that he
right.
did it. Yeah.
I would say the phrase to you all the time, guys, you can't pick Sergio in a major until he actually wins one because how many times can you pick him and have him disappoint you? It's a
like
lot
the
like
caps.
The Caps. Exactly.
Like the Caps.
Trust me. Believe me, I'm still heartbroken over it. We should be going to a Game 7 tonight, if there was one, or going
stop.
To Game
stop.
1.
We can't talk about it.
There is a Game 7
there
tonight.
Is.
Yeah. It's the Pittsburgh Penguins.
I understand.
And Ottawa.
I understand that.
Yeah. So you don't have faith in it with Tiger?
I got to see it to believe it. It's tough, man. He sometimes he looks like he just got shot, and that's coming off of I feel as good as I felt, or I feel as, I don't know.
Now, to be fair.
It's hard. It's hard to get that excited. You're into it, too.
Because I still like him, and I feel terribly for him, and all these things. I know a lot of people don't like him. How old do you have to be on the senior tour? Maybe he can just ease into that.
I don't see him ever being on that.
By the way, you made a very good point last night. If he does somehow, on PTI, if he does somehow get it back in gear, somehow.
He's got time.
He's got plenty of time.
He's got time.
Yeah, you can play to your mid-40s. Late 40s competitively, mid 40s if you're healthy. Well, the question, with him is,
he can't even twist his body for 2.5 months.
Forget
Tony,
the golf.
I've told you this 100 times in the last 5 years. It's not the physical issues. Can he get it back mentally to the point where this is what I want to do, and not just say what I want to do, but I'm going to put the work in to do it? That has not been the case over the last half dozen years or so.
He talks mainly when he talks. It is mainly about wanting to be a father.
Right.
The golf thing seems secondary.
Correct.
But that's probably because he felt in his heart he couldn't get back to golf. This seemed to be a shift in tone. He said he felt great.
It was a statement on his own website.
Yes.
I mean,
so
maybe he didn't even really say it.
Well, I know what happens on websites. You can buy clothing on our website,
right,
for example.
I don't know. I think that you have to see him.
Yeah.
I want to see him compete. And I think you've got to see him compete before you can actually say physically he's there and also mentally he's back as well. That's a huge discrepancy between his mental strength now versus his mental strength when he was the best player in the world.
Speaking of physical, I think I owe this to the people since I talked yesterday about going to Pilates.
Yeah. Oh, how was that?
Okay, I went to Pilates. I worked for an hour with Yvonne.
Mm-hmm.
I was told by a variety of people. Now, my theory about going to Pilates, of course, is that it will stretch me back out to my original height. There was nothing.
Foolish theory.
There was nothing yesterday that I did that indicated it would do anything like well, that,
day
which
one.
Was sort of disappointing. But I was told by a variety of people who had taken Pilates, and I suspect done it correctly, that the next day you're going to be in agony because you have used a variety of muscles that you have never used before. I must have done it wrong because I'm okay. It seemed to me that everything we did over the... By the way, you cannot lose weight doing this.
It's not about
there's,
that.
There's no, nothing about... There's you don't sweat. It's not... it may be some sort of exercise, but it's not sort of the way men look at the exercise world.
By the way, the soreness, muscle soreness, is typically worse after 48 hours
than
24.
Okay, then maybe
so
that's
you,
the case.
You may,
it seemed to me that every single thing I had to do, and I was mostly laying down on a board called the Reformer. Mostly that, yeah, from the 16th century Holland, the Dutch Reform movement. Mostly it was just squeeze your behind. Squeeze your glutes. I thought about Tiger all the time because his woman
activate
was saying
you need to activate
firing
his glutes.
Your glutes.
Yeah, you gotta fire.
Just squeeze this and squeeze that, and that's all I seemed to do. And then I would look up and I would try to get my hips in alignment. And I had no. It seemed to be a conceptual exercise, and I did not understand any of it. None of it. I just said, "So you, can I just push back and forth?" No, you have to. No, it's slow. And it's turning.
Relaxation.
I mean, I'm going to do it again.
Can't you just
I didn't
hang on the
seem
bar like Peter Brady to get your height back?
No, because you have to stretch out your head.
Have you considered? I know you guys talk.
I know you don't like flying, but if you go to outer space for an extended period of time, you gain inches.
You have time for this?
And you're back.
Sure.
Do we have time for a quick story?
How much do you need?
A good buddy
Three
of mine.
Minutes, go.
He's an astronaut in NASA named Shane Kimbrough. He just got back from a spacewalk for 6 months. Spacewalk on the International Space Station.
And he's taller.
So he was texting me the other day about things.
This is Mark Kelly's brother.
I'm sitting with my middle son, Scott, and Scott goes, "Hey, Dad, ask him if he grew in space." So Shane, this is just 2 days ago. Shane says he grew 2.5 inches while he was up there for 6 months.
Lost it in an hour.
Lost it in less than an hour and has severe back pain for 3 weeks, but is completely worth it because he got to go up on the International Space Station and do a spacewalk. Cool. It was just 2 days ago. Shane Kimbrough, great guy.
Mark Kelly's brother, whose name escapes me now, twin brother, gained 2 inches in space. Lost it in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, as soon as the gravity comes back,
but
and
took
you're,
pictures.
And you land.
Took pictures, yeah. So we could prove
as
it.
As soon as you land and the gravity comes back, then all of a sudden the height.
Have you ever taken Pilates?
I have not, but Val Sands has.
And does she like it?
Yeah, I mean, what's to like?
I mean, I've never done Pilates, but
have you done it?
I kind of do it on my own, and of course we use it on the horses, right, for their strength.
You
it's
do?
About flexibility.
Horse Pilates.
Yeah, it's about flexibility and a lot about core strength and things like that. Yeah,
it doesn't seem I don't know what
you
I
you and the horses story, man.
I'd not done Pilates, but you guys were talking yesterday. I wish I had been here because I have done and do yoga, which I love. And for my back, it's key because
can you lose weight doing that?
No,
you can sweat.
Hot yoga.
You can sweat doing yoga. Not
Tell
even
you.
Hot yoga.
This was
but
not.
What you may want to try next time is like eating a sandwich while you're doing it. I think that really helps.
It just was odd. I mean, I was expecting.
I think you should give it more than one.
I know
day.
I am. I'm going to. I'm going to.
Yvonne. Yvonne.
Yvonne.
How did Yvonne rate your performance?
Is that YV or is that
YV,
Ivan?
YV.
Okay.
She said it was fine. I don't.
You did well.
Yeah, but
she rated his performance.
You know, I didn't. I don't know. I don't know.
Lasted longer than she thought he would. He did very well.
At my age.
Wow.
Thank you so much for more things we have to cut out of the podcast. We'll be back with email and the jingles. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
This is the Tony Kornheiser Show.
From Jennifer and Wisconsin, Mr. Tony yells at me. Speaking live from Chatter, plausibly. And in an hour of podcast, he is trying to sell some MeUndies made in California, plausibly.
This is very good.
Plausibly, plausibly, oh, we lie well, plausibly. Speaking live from Chatter, plausibly. And when the loyal littles go out shouting, cheesery, will we hear from the goddess? Plausibly, well, plausibly, oh, plausibly.
Beautiful.
That's Steve Lipton in Springfield, Virginia, who gives credit to Kevin Wilson in Clovis, New Mexico, for doing a song about
Mexico.
The show live
That's
at
the New Mexico.
Plausibly. Before we get into the mailbag, let me say thank you to Arch Campbell and obviously Steve Sands for coming on the show today. I'd also like to thank the sponsors, MeUndies, ZipRecruiter, and SeatGeek. Please support them the way they support our podcast. Remember to listen and subscribe to new and archived episodes of the Tony Kornheiser Show wherever you listen to podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Play. If you listen to the show through iTunes, please leave a review. From Jack Preston, Mr. Tony, listening to the podcast, it becomes glaringly apparent that whenever Gary Braun is not on the show, the intellectual level of the show noticeably drops. I'm quite sure he would have set everyone straight on the debate over the largest state in the East, since, as we all know, Super G is an expert on geometry.
Yes.
The answer is, I was shouting while listening to the chatter, get it, nice product tie-in, is Georgia. Georgia is the largest landmass state east of the Mississippi River. As to the western tip of Virginia, it extends to about latitude 83.7, and the eastern edge of Michigan starts at about 82.6, an overlap of approximately 70 miles. There you have it. Please tell Saliza to eat it. From Cameron in Austin, Texas, the woman to whom I'm related by marriage is off school this week before restarting graduate school for the summer. We took advantage of our day off to go hiking. As we were finishing our hike, another couple was preparing to embark. The man was wearing a shirt with Bearcats on it, but I couldn't see what school because he wasn't putting on a backup. What does that mean? A backpack.
Backpack.
Before I could determine what school it was, he gave me a hearty La Cheeserie. The woman to whom he is related by marriage immediately pulled a sour face and told my wife, "You too, sorry." Now they're friends and planning a Hallmark movie channel night.
Wow. Lovely.
By the way, in honor of our friends from Cincinnati, the real Bearcats are Cincinnati, and we should The Harper College, Binghamton, should never have been
Colonials, always.
From Ben Warsowitz in Columbus, Ohio, while listening to the show this afternoon, I was struck by an idea for a short play. In one scene, Tony Kornheiser, NBA commissioner, rages, "I don't care what it costs. Tell him we will pay whatever it costs to push Saliza on ice so we can start the finals tonight. Tell the Celtics we would have asked them, but they were busy losing by 40. Cut to a restaurant sign, Chad, Shinebox, Business Class, and Mitzi's lettering have all been crossed out. A napkin is taped to the door reading, "Welcome to Chatter." Inside, co-owner Adam Silver is calm, almost like he isn't breathing. "It'll be okay," he says. "We don't want to upset the apple cart by rushing the sign installation. If you state this play, I'd just like to ask for a thank you in the program." We're not going to do that play. From Aaron Clark, during your discussion of linguistics, you mentioned that Turkish was the hardest language to pronounce and learn. I can confirm this as I lived in Istanbul for 10 months playing professional basketball in 2008 and 9. I thought I would be worldly and brought the Rosetta Stone software for Turkish before I left. You only have about 5 days notice before signing your contract and boarding a plane. Upon arriving, I proudly announced to our club's general manager that I wanted to learn the language and even bought some software to help. His response was the same that it's Garcia, not Saliza, heard from Matthew McConaughey.
Sure.
Needless to say, I can count to 10 in Turkish and name about a dozen different foods. Apparently, I wasn't the first American to fail at all at the language because so many consonants are not pronounced. From Richard Grimes, Ricky in Long Island, for Dr. Tony's new workout regimen of Pilates, let me make one recommendation to make the most of it: Meldonium. Yes, I would like to take Meldonium.
Absolutely.
From Rich Morisal, I live in Virginia. My tree fell on my neighbor's house in Virginia. It's his problem, not mine. Who knew, other than my insurance company? Well, it's not my problem, although it is my problem.
Well, it's your problem, but eventually it's
not your responsibility.
Right.
Jim Rathbone in Quebec City. Mr. Dr. Kornheiser, as a PhD holder in geography, specifically migration and ethnic relations, it was a thrill to hear the spirited though misguided debate on the pod about the size of Virginia. To prepare you for the next trivia night, here's a fun Canadian geography fact. More than half of the United States are at least partly north of Canada's most southerly land masses, 27 states to be precise. Can you guess them? They include Iowa, Ohio, California, Indiana, and Nevada. I had no idea. I guess the southernmost landmass is probably
Nova Scotia.
I would think so. I think with Nova Scotia.
How can Nevada have?
I don't know. And he says, please stop saying Montreal and please start saying Montreal. Just as you would say Monday and not like a yawn. The littles of Quebec implore you. From Michael Bass in Tucson, formerly of Baltimore. I was 5'7" most of my life. I'm 66 years old till I noticed my pants suddenly grew. I got an inversion table. And I'm back to 5'7". Start out with a small angle and work your way closer to vertical. It works. What is an inversion?
I've got one of them too. Hangs you upside down by your feet like a bat.
Oh, your eyes fall out.
You got to ease into it. Yeah. You got to ease into it.
I'm a little bit afraid of that.
It's like a rack.
Dave from South Orange, New Jersey, as a lowly commercial lawyer, I can't believe I'm saying this, but Abby is mostly wrong. In most cases, the homeowner is responsible for the damage done by a neighbor's falling tree. The exception is if the neighbor was negligent and caused the fall. given Abby the benefit of the doubt, I think he meant that when he mentioned maintenance and care of the tree, but in the vast majority of cases, the homeowner is responsible. I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear the rest of this.
I think that's true.
This is... It is?
Yeah.
This is very bad. That is almost impossible for me to prove the amount of negligence that would be required to hold the neighbor responsible. I need somebody to come over and take this tree down. I'm Tony Kornheiser. If you're out on your bike tonight, do wear white.
You got to harvest your nuts right now, man.
Thanks, Eddie.
Back Alley Pharmacy, 2012. Just around the corner from that highway to hell. They got what you want now, baby. They got what you need. Anything you like, make you who you want to be. Treetop fly.